The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave to me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, it's graduation season, and I know that for a lot of parents, this is a very emotional time. Because as their son or daughter walks across that stage, it's sort of symbolic of them walking on to the next step in life. And while parents are filled with pride and excitement, it's also very sad for many parents. I got to be honest, though, that it wasn't really all that sad for me going to my daughter's graduation last year. I mean, that's not really one of the emotions that came to mind. Yes, I was very proud. Yes, I was very excited. But, you know, even though M falls dead in the middle of the alphabet, I was also very bored because it felt like 10,000 kids had walked across the stage before my kid finally did. And so this huge buildup to an emotional release just wasn't there that day. But now, when we dropped her off at college, well, now that was a different story. I remember that morning, we were all driving separately because she had so much stuff to move into her dorm room. And the whole way there, I'm sort of rehearsing what I want to say to her, you know, as we release her out into the world, out into adulthood. You know, I wanted to tell her how proud we are of her and how much we love her and how that we want her to have fun, but, you know, not too much fun. To be careful and not to take strange rides from people and to study hard and that she can be whatever she wants to be. And I think I told her most of these things. I'm not sure that it was the big moment that I wanted it to be. But I just knew that I wanted to say these things to her and have this very important message conveyed to her. But I got to admit, I don't think it was nearly as powerful as it could have been. I mean, maybe it just didn't get the right opportunity, or maybe it's the fact that, well, she went to college at University of South Carolina, which is 25 minutes from home, and we saw her a few days later. But I tell you, I came across a letter this week written by Jonathan Coelho that was much more powerful. He wrote it, and these were the words. He said, I love you guys with all my heart, and you've given me the best life I could have asked for. I am so lucky. It makes me proud to be your husband and the father to Braden and Penny. Katie, you are the most caring, nurturing person I've ever met. You are truly one of a kind. Make sure you live life with happiness and the same passion that made me fall in love with you. Seeing you be the best mom to the kids is the greatest thing I've ever experienced. Let Braden know he's my best bud, and I'm proud to be his father and for all the amazing things he's done and continues to do. Let Penelope know she's a princess and can have whatever she wants in life. I'm so lucky. Don't hold back. And if you meet someone, know that if they love you and the kids that I love, that I love that for you. Always be happy no matter what. These words were found on Jonathan's phone when his wife was given his possessions at the hospital after he died on April 22nd. He went into cardiac arrest 20 days after being admitted to the hospital and having been put on a ventilator while fighting COVID-19. You know, these words had to be the most special words he had ever written. Every word, every letter was important, you know, because he knew that this may be the message that lived long past him. It wasn't like the normal communications that we have with one another, right? You know, do the dishes. Have you seen that latest movie on Netflix? Did you remember to do the dishes? What's the weather supposed to be like today? Seriously, do the dishes. I was thinking about picking the kids up later today. What do you think? Do the dishes. I mean, our normal everyday conversations, how different would they look if we knew that it would be the last moments that we had with our spouse, our children, our parents, our grandparents, our friends? What would our words be like then? What would be the message that we would want to pass on, the most important things that we could possibly say? This week, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm actually going to give you the time to process that question. Give you a minute or two just to think about that. What would you say? What would you write down? What would be your message to say if you knew it was the last words you had? I don't know exactly what you would say, but I guarantee you that they would be important. The message that you gave would be the most important thing that you would have to say, wouldn't it? You would want that message to live on well past yourself. It would be what you want most for your loved ones, what you want for them in their future and how much you love them now, wouldn't it? Well, see, this morning, we hear that same kind of message from our Lord and Savior. What we've got is Jesus is in the upper room in John's gospel. And he has gone through, teaching them a lot. And he washed their feet. He taught them. And now it ends with Jesus praying what's known as the high priestly prayer. This is his words to God, and in them we hear what's most important to Jesus. The most important things that he has to say. I want you to listen again. First off, he begins by talking about the mission to which he has been called and how he has been glorified, and he will glorify the Father and the Father will be glorified in him. And then he turns his attention to the disciples. Here in verse 6 it says, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave me I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in the name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." That they may be one as we are one. Jesus is praying to God on the very night that he will be betrayed and arrested and tried and convicted. The night before he was crucified, these are the final words that he prays to his God about his disciples. That they may be one as we are one. Jesus, more than anything in the world, is praying for the unity of his followers. That's what's most important. That's what he says more than anything in the world. He prays that they may be one. That's what he wanted for his apostles then, and that's what he wants for his church now. That we may be one. So, how we doing? Not real good. Not good at all. I mean, we're divided in so many different ways, right? Our race, our sexual orientation, our beliefs, our opinions, our sports teams. Hey, even now, in the most difficult time in recent American history, we're even divided on our opinions on COVID-19. Some people think it's not even real. Some people think it's the most deadly thing that's ever existed. We can't agree on anything. And yet, Jesus' main prayer for us is that we may be one. And we can't be on the same page at all. But my friends, if it's that important to Jesus, don't you think that it should be that important to us? If in Jesus' dying words, the night before he lost his life, he's praying for the unity of his people, don't you think we may, try to be more unified? Maybe we ought to try to look past ourselves just for a minute and get the unity that Christ so desperately wanted for his people? If Jesus wanted us to be one, don't you think we ought to try to be one? I mean, I'm not sure we would even know how to go about doing that. But I think I might know where to start. I think it would begin with us having the same prayer that Jesus did. Maybe we ought to start praying that we could be one. Maybe if we started praying for our unity, and we believed that God would give us the power, the wisdom, the understanding, the humility to actually come together as one, it may start to happen. But it can't stop there. I mean, first we have to pray about it. Then we need to learn to humble ourselves. We need to realize that, you know what? I'm not always right. I don't have to always be right about everything. You know, my way may not be the best way. My beliefs may not be the right beliefs. My opinions may not be the best opinions. And we need to be okay with that. And then we need to listen to our neighbor with the hopes of understanding. And that means we need to ask why. Why do you think the way you think? Why do you feel the way you feel? Why do you believe what you believe? Perhaps if we would open our ears and listen to what our brothers and sisters were saying, we might not only understand where they're coming from, we might actually grow ourselves. And then we need to love them. We're not all going to be the same. If everybody in the world was the same, only one of us would be necessary. We're not all the same. We're never going to be the same people. We aren't going to look the same. We're not going to talk the same. We're not going to act the same. We're not going to believe the same way. And that's okay. It makes the world a whole lot more fun. And we need to be okay with that. But despite our differences, we need to love our brothers and sisters. Maybe not in spite of them, maybe because of them. You know? Be glad that people aren't like you and aren't like me. Be glad that there are different ways of looking at things and everything's not so black and white. Be glad that there are multiple shades of everything. Because the world would be a whole lot more boring if everything was the same. We need to love them. And lastly, we need to stand with them. There are some people who are hurting. There are some people who feel so alone, so abandoned. And you know what? Even if we don't agree with them, that doesn't mean we can't stand with them. Even though we may not be on the same page, it doesn't mean we can't be in the same book, you know? Jesus prayed that we may be one. And if it's important to Jesus, it should be important to us, don't you think? I mean, I don't know where to start, but it's got to start somewhere, and it may as well be me and you, right? I mean, maybe if we start praying for our unity and take on Jesus' prayer, maybe if we start listening and trying to understand, maybe if we adopt an attitude of humility, maybe if we love others and then stand with others, maybe if I stand with you and you stand with me and we stand with them and they stand with others, maybe, just maybe, our Lord's prayer will be answered and we will be one as they are one. It was important to Jesus. Shouldn't it be important to us too? Amen.